You're listening to Mind Medicine. Mind Medicine. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mind Medicine program. It's great to be with you. We bring this to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur, and I'm here in Melbourne, Australia, not Melbourne, Florida, where it's 6 p.m. It's 1 a.m. on Sunday morning in L.A., so if you're driving home listening to us, excellent. It's 9 a.m. in the U.K. It's 10 a.m. in Budapest in Hungary, from where my parents came many years ago. It's great to have you here. I'm wearing my red jacket because I'm a passion provocateur. Of course, red is the color of passion. And my guest today is Nick Patterson, freedom fighter, a fighter against corrupt police. I look forward to sharing his bio with you and to having an in-depth conversation. And it's great to have you with us, whether you're live or watching or listening to the recording. This show is all about how and why mind matters and how to keep yours in great shape. Ideas to provoke new ways of thinking about your life and life generally. And Nick Patterson is a very intriguing character who I know personally. I was at his birthday party last year, and I won't tell you how old he was. He looks pretty young. I was at his 40th birthday party, so I know him and I admire the work that he's been doing. We discuss insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we are delighted to bring this show in association with Mind Medicine Australia, that was established over 5 years ago by Peter Hunt and Tanya de Jong to enable the legalization of psychedelic drugs in Australia. And they've succeeded. And these psychedelics are MDMA and psilocybin. It took 4.5 years, and those drugs are finally available for patients with mental health problems. They work spectacularly well in many cases where pharmaceutical drugs do not. And now when they're prescribed by psychiatrists, and now it's a game changer. Australia is the leader in this space. And some of you know that I'm CEO of an industrial hemp company. I'm also president of the Australian Industrial Hemp Alliance. And hemp is cannabis. And cannabis is another psychedelic drug that can have magnificent benefits with the cannabinoids in this herb. Literally, it's a herb. And children with epilepsy have had amazing recovery from having cannabis, and yet the system is stacked against it. So Mind Medicine Australia, please visit its website. It can be a spectacular benefit for people suffering mental health problems. It's mindmedicineaustralia.org.au. We talk about health in this program, and my definition of health is based on the Hungarian word for health, meaning wholeness. So health to me is the unique optimal balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. So we talk about mental elements here, but physical elements and spiritual elements. And the interesting thing is nobody has the same body as you. So this whole issue of protocols, of medical protocols and evidence-based medicine is a major, major fraud in many ways, because what I need is different to what you need. What Nick Patterson needs is different to what you need. And so you go to a hospital and they give you a protocol because they're not interested in you. They're interested in avoiding being sued because they didn't follow the protocol, even though the doctor might know that that protocol is bad for you. So I urge you, coming to this program regularly, whether it's live or watching a recording, constantly invest your time in understanding what is the unique optimal balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. We talk about passion here and its impact on your mental health. And my promise to you is, if you are pursuing your passion, and I'm an expert in this, I've been 31 years teaching all about passion after my 20-year legal career. When you are pursuing your passion, your mental health dramas disappear. Now, many times people with mental health dramas have never been able to work out what their passion is, or they've never given themselves the luxury of working out what their passion is. So I urge you, you come to this program, you see my red jacket, you think passion. Now, before I introduce Nick Patterson to you, I want to make a couple of short comments of editorial. My guest last week on the program was Wade Northhausen, who runs the Billboard Battalion in Australia. He is doing a great job fighting for Australians and particularly for farmers. He's on an Australia-wide road trip holding presentations, literally like the founders of the Australian Federation in 1901 did for 10 years from 1891, when Henry Park started, on the back of a horse-drawn dray, doing town hall meetings, meeting with the people, saying, we need a federation. Wade Northhausen is out there speaking about the need for freedom, truth, justice, ethics, and health, as is Nick Patterson. So go, if you haven't heard that recording, please check it out. This is a big week this week in Australia. It's a public holiday on last Thursday, on the 25th of April, celebrating Anzac Day. So I know we've got a global audience here. Anzac stands for Australian New Zealand Army Corps, and it commemorates the attempted attack on the Turks at Anzac Cove at Gallipoli. And it was a glorious defeat, but what the Anzacs showed was enormous courage. And Anzac Day commemorates Australians at war, and Australians have never gone to war except to fight for freedom. And I think Anzac Day is a salutary reminder to us of whether we are willing to fight for freedom, whether we are willing to fight for our principles. Okay, and that's a big question for each one of us. And every time I see anything about the Anzacs, it reminds me of the need to fight for freedom. And that's why I'm delighted you're here on TNT Radio, because this station fights for your freedom. There's no political correctness. There's no censorship. This is a place of exploring the truth. The Aligned Council of Australia, I want to bring it to your attention. If you want to do something for freedom, if you want to do something for Australia, push back against the World Health Organization that I call the World Hurt Organization. Check out the website. It's doing Australia's largest letterbox drop, alignedcouncilofaustralia.com.au. There are numerous ways for you to volunteer, and you can distribute pamphlets. Check out that website, please. And we're pushing back against the World Hurt Organization and its desire to take away Australia's freedom and its sovereignty in relation to health matters. It is evil, it is corrupt, it is criminal, it must be resisted. The Victorian government, now I know you're not in Victoria, most of you, but one of the principles that I urge all of us to take is to track politicians after they've left office. And I'm particularly thinking of dictator Dan Andrews, whose police have caused all sorts of problems for Nick Patterson. But Daniel Andrews, the Premier who resigned suddenly last September, is the worst Premier in Victoria's history. He has put a debt noose around this state's neck. His activities forevermore must be tracked. We can forgive him as a human being, but he must be held to account. And any company that retains his services and pays him money must have a light shone on them. This man deserves no support. His evil that he has done in office is inexcusable. And we must be willing to hold politicians who behave this way to account for the rest of their lives, so that the politicians in power now understand that just when they retire from politics, we're going to let them go. No, there's no more letting go. The frauds that have been perpetrated on us are so bad, no letting go. My mantra is track Dick Dan. And I want you to track former politicians that have done harm in the state or the country in which you live. Second last item, use cash. All around the world, we must use cash. Digital currency is a way to track you, to track your activities, to control you. Resist it. And lastly, my other mantra that I'm going to share with you is always read the inserts in any pharmaceutical drug that you take. They have extensive inserts in them. By the way, the COVID jabs did not have the inserts. They were left blank. That was criminal in itself. But before you take a pharmaceutical drug, read the inserts every time. Remember, the science is never settled. Anyone who tells you the science is settled, reach for your wallet. You do not comply. That's got to be our mantra. Do not comply. Use your free will, your God-given free will. Spread the message of TNT. And as we're fighting this fight for freedom and truth and justice and values and principles and Christian principles that are the basis on which this country was founded, remember, choose to be happy. Don't wait for the absence of problems. If you're waiting for the absence of problems to be happy, you will very rarely be happy because we've all got problems. But you can be happy in the midst of this fight, and it's an important fight to have. That's how I live my life, and I promise you it works. And spread the news about TNT as you're choosing to be happy. Contact me by email, charles@coves.com, and visit my websites, charlescoves.com, and my Charles Coves show that is findable on a weekly show on Rumble or YouTube. Now, Nick Patterson, my guest this week, I'm going to ask him to do something quite interesting that I've never done on this show before, Nick, so you don't even know what I'm going to ask you to do, but here's a short bio of Nick. He's a multifaceted individual. His life journey has been marked by a deep commitment to his faith, family, and fighting for justice. As a devoted Christian, Nick has dedicated over two decades to Christian ministry, embodying his beliefs in his actions and advocacy. His passion for combat sports led him to a successful career as a professional mixed martial arts fighter, where he achieved the remarkable feat of being ranked number one in Australia in two weight classes. Nick's prowess in the ring earned him multiple titles and garnered respect within the martial arts community. Beyond the arena, Nick extended his impact by running a thriving martial arts program and gym for 12 years. However, his entrepreneurial endeavor faced a formidable challenge with the onset of the COVID lockdowns, which targeted his industry in a shocking way, the gymnasium industry, and led to the closure of his gym. Undeterred by setbacks, Nick redirected his energy towards combating social injustices. He became deeply involved in anti-child trafficking efforts, collaborating with organizations like Veterans on Patrol along the USA-Mexican border. Additionally, Nick played an instrumental role in organizing, speaking, and providing security for rallies during the COVID lockdowns here in Australia, advocating for individual freedoms and challenging official narratives. Nick's courage in speaking out against police and government corruption hasn't come without consequences, and we're going to talk about those consequences in this conversation. For the past 4 years, he has faced prosecution by corrupt authorities due to his vocal stance against official narratives. Despite these challenges, Nick remains steadfast in his mission, amplifying his message through platforms like his Telegram channel, Fight Corrupt Police. Look that up, Fight Corrupt Police, subscribe to his channel. Nick has five children. He's been married for 14 years. At his core, Nick Patterson embodies resilience, integrity, and an unwavering commitment to fighting for what is right, making him a powerful voice for change in Victoria, Australia, and beyond. Nick, welcome to the Mind Medicine Program. And I feel for you. You've been courageously fighting for what is true. And I've never done this before, Nick. How about a Christian prayer? Because you are a Christian minister for 22 years. I didn't give you any warning about this. Give us a prayer for this hour.
It'd be great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. All right. Father in heaven, thank you for the power and strength that you give to us. Thank you for inspiring us, lifting us up, and giving us perspective and a clear vision of who we are and why we're here and what we are to do. We thank you for our conscience, and we pray that you'll be with us and that you'll please remember that we love you and that we care for you and want to be close with you. And we pray that you will continue to inspire people and lift them up and lift up warriors that can stand up for the truth and who can inspire others. And we pray that you'll continue to place stumbling blocks before our enemies and cause them to fail at everything they seek to do against us and against the innocent. And we pray for power and opportunity to defend the innocent and to do what you would have us do, that we can make you pleased. We are grateful for these opportunities, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Nick, I'm going to get into the corrupt police in a moment, but the great contradiction in you is, how can a man committed to Christianity want to beat the crap out of people in mixed martial arts fights?
Well, it's interesting. That goes back to my upbringing. So I grew up, I guess, with sort of in two minds, and that was by virtue of the household that I grew up in. I didn't grow up in a wealthy area. I was in the housing commission flats, or what some states and jurisdictions would call council flats. So every day was met with interactions with people that wanted to take your equipment, your bag, your shoes. So as a result of that, my mother put me into karate classes and boxing. I was training at a boxing gym at the same time. I was doing both. And that was a way to get me focused on something that she believed was good. And I think there's many good elements. I think there's some bad ones in there too, but I think there's many good elements in martial arts and combat sports, especially when you're a single child, you don't have brothers or sisters, and you have to sort of stand on your own two feet, because a lot of the time I had to travel to and fro as a youngster by myself. So that's sort of the catalyst that created the situation in which I was sort of compelled to learn martial arts and learn how to empower myself in that way. And obviously there's many ways that we can empower ourselves, but that was just one of them that I needed at that time. So I always placed the Christian ethos first. However, there was always this part in me I think I was born with it, because I've got, experiences as a youngster, like, I mean, 6 and 7 years old, where I would stand up for people at my own demise in the classroom at school. And I just believe that I needed to be able to be strong enough to be able to defend people. I never used my, my skills and that intention to hurt anybody. It was always for defense, almost like I was a bit of a child sleeper cell, just ready to jump in to defend someone that's being treated badly. And I think I'm still the same. And I believe this was divine providence, because I've always been like this. I haven't changed. Even I think about, where I'm at now and the experiences I've had dealing with corrupt police and the government and working with anti-child trafficking groups. Nothing's changed. I was that from the beginning. I've obtained some skills and some opportunities that I didn't have when I was a child, and I didn't have the capacity when I was a child, but I'm doing the things I always wanted to do as a child, and that was to stand up for what's right. And I guess that's sort of summing it up.
And what, I mean, I was raised a Catholic. I'm a Christian, and Julie, my wife, is a Christian, where, my mother goes to church religiously, but I don't, I'm a Christian. I don't go to church as Catholic, because I think the Catholic Church has been bought. That's another conversation. But I'm not a minister. I'm not a Christian minister. But when I think about it, the messages that I share in all of my work, and as a lawyer, then a passion provocateur, is about Christian principles. So what then, took you into the ministry? Because that's a big step.
Yeah, so my ministry, so I run Bible studies each week, and I run a spiritual me platform at the moment online, and then we have physical meetups as well where we meet with people. But my ministry, I've been actively involved in different churches from different times, but I always found that in the bigger churches, there was always a clergy-laity system that restricted your ability to freely do what you're inspired to do, when it would come to that head, I'd have to step away because I had other things I needed to do to help people. So running a gym, my gym basically became a ministry in the end. I had homeless people living upstairs. I had even had one living downstairs and a bunch living upstairs. It's a great way to reach people, especially a lot of these kids, they're growing up in single parent homes. There's no real solid foundation. See, at least I grew up in a single parent home, but my mother taught me to pray, and she still taught me biblical principles, even though we never went to church growing up. And that she would have inherited that from her mother. But I think we're now going into multiple generations divorced from those principles.
Yes, I certainly want to discuss that, because I have a view. Well, I want to discuss in terms of mental health. Nick, what we're going to do, we've got to go to a break before, and then when we come back from the break, I want to go through your work in fighting corrupt police, your story. It's a compelling story, and I'm happy to have some detail around the journey that you've been on, how it happened, and then we want to unpack the value of having spiritual principles in terms of the mental health challenges, because there's an explosion of mental health problems. The question is, I talked about mind, body, and spirit at the start. The question is, if you don't have spiritual principles, how does that impact on your mental health? So we'll cover that as well. So we'll go to these breaks and we'll be back after these messages from TNT Radio.
Los Angeles has been described as a suburb looking for a city. Join me as we explore LA's neighbourhoods and the local restaurants, cafes and bars that are an integral part of these vibrant and diverse communities.
Today we are going to cook a small steak for people who are already quite hungry.
Very, very simple. A couple squeezes of lemon in there.
Since you're adding the meat, and you can also do it with tofu options as well for the vegetarians.
Olive oil. So now we're going to season it up. Fresh grind black pepper. Really hot and busy in here.
I'm going to go ahead and make some butter toast.
Olive oil.
Smells good.
Grab our shiitake mushrooms. Season with salt a little bit.
Boy, it's getting hot in the kitchen. Need another drink of my beer. That's the best part of cooking.
And we are ready to put our plate together.
Add the mussels right around the rim. See, we have really nice colors, nice piece of fish.
We just need to add a little bit of powdered sugar.
And I will just put a little bit of reduction glaze over the top.
When you add a pesto like this onto a braised meat, the smells that just come up are just wonderful. Take it from me, we've got a good thing going here.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
TNT. Good for fans of justice and truth.
Today's news talk. TNT.
Welcome back to the show, and I do underline, the request to support TNT with a donation. Go to its website, buy the merchandise, but also your donation will help this fight for truth and justice and freedom. And truth, it's such an important topic, and we are being gaslit with all in so many spheres. That's why TNT is so important, and your support will ensure that we can be here. My guest is Nick Patterson. So, Nick, you have been fighting corrupt police. Tell us the story of the last 4 years. In your bio, I said you lost your gym, but you've been involved in a case now for 4 years. Give us the story.
Yeah, I've actually been involved in there's four cases with the police. First one was when I kept my gym open during the first lockdowns, and the whole world was looking at in Victoria. So when the police ended up coming to my gym, because I was publicly promoting my gym and telling people that, come to the gym, you have a right to be at the gym. The Human Rights Charter wasn't suspended, so come to my gym and train. You need it for your health. Well, I was very quickly met with opposition from the police. So the police came, there were two in the first instance, and they came to basically shut us down, but they didn't shut us down. They left because we had a discussion with them, which we filmed, and that became a viral video. And viral videos like that are the way to break down the narrative and inspire some courage, because we just stood up to these police. But what happened was, I walked into the gym, there was about 20, 25 people in the gym. When I walked back in, there was only one man left. And I asked, where's everybody gone? And he said to me, oh, they all ran out the back, which means that they literally ran out the back over the barbed wire fences to escape this fear, this dread of having to face the police. So I realized immediately that fear has a grip on the even on the fighters. And we had pro fighters training with us, so which astounded me. So we ran a rally the next day. The next day, again, we ran a session at the gym. And then I was met with 22 police officers who had blocked off all the roads so that no one could get in or out of our street and without having to deal with the police and have a discussion with them. And there was a DHHS officer. This became another viral video in which they threatened to arrest me, but they didn't arrest me. And I believe the spirit of God was with me because I was able to say the words I needed to say so that I wasn't they couldn't escalate the situation. So I was able to keep it peaceful. So that became another viral video. And obviously, when you're breaking down the narrative, you're affecting the power that these evil people, these evil governments have. They get all their power really truly from their ability to perpetuate a lie. And when someone speaks out and breaks that down, that lie, and exposes it, you become enemy number one. So I was then harassed at my house. I had police turn up to my house 5 times. And we're talking like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So it wasn't just during the day. It was deliberate. It was late at night. And they bash on the door, and there was no legitimate reason for them to be there other than to check in on me because I was a person of interest. So I would ask them, I said, what's interesting about me? Why would you turn up to my house at midnight? I've got children that are asleep. You're just here to harass me, aren't you? You know, I had some of them were a bit more respectful. They would say, look, we're not really, we don't want to be here. But there were police that were very arrogant as well, who would laugh at me, threaten me at my door. So very quickly, I realized that this is bigger than just speaking out against the lie. There's a whole infrastructure of corrupted people and networks working together. And then I had 18 police cars turn up to my gym, at the front of my gym, and Channel 7 at the same time, because I was going to run an event at my gym. And I'd publicly announced this event. But then I had a feeling, I call this divine providence, that I shouldn't be there. And because the police are coming, I didn't know the police were coming, but I thought they were going to come. So I did another Facebook post saying, if you haven't been cleared to come to our event, please contact me and we'll see if the security team will let you come. I had no security team, it was just me. So people would ring me and they go, Nick, can I come to your event? Now, if I knew them well, I'd say, sure, but we're doing a Zoom, don't tell anybody. But if I didn't know them well, even though they might have been good people, I'd just say, look, not this time, maybe next time. Anyway, we're doing this Zoom where we're discussing, you know, the Human Rights Charter, how to keep your businesses open. And I'm live streaming the cameras from my gym while I'm at home, and we're all watching it. And we literally see there's police turn up with Channel 7 at the same time. And then there ends up being 18 police cars, not 22, 18 police cars. And two people that I knew who were on our Zoom who lived in the area, I went for a drive around just to count them. So then I had police turn up to my gym where they would just park out the front so that way no one could come in because people were scared to come in. And it just became more and more targeted. I was kicked off social media, all the rest of it. Then I was at a rally in 2021 where police targeted us. And first we were told to leave the area because there was like 400 police at the Flagstaff Gardens in Melbourne CBD. And there was a small group of us, maybe 10, 15 people. And we were told to leave the area. So we did. And then we were followed by tactical police. And they started blocking our way and pushing us in different directions and then becoming violent with us as we're trying to get back to our cars to go home. And we're trying to comply with an order from the police inspector, but this tactical group of police were just targeting us. And they assaulted us about 40 times. And when I say, I mean, just common assault, you know, pushing people, pushing the women in our group to try to get us to react. And we didn't react until the police ran across the road as we're literally a block away from our cars, the police, about 40 of them, ran across the road and started bashing up my mate, just started throwing punches at him. And then we ran in and we ended up having a fight with the police to defend our mate, to stop them from beating up our mate. And the police then charged us all with a myriad of false charges. I was charged with 23 charges, mostly assault police, affray, which can carry up to 5 years in prison, I think. But there was a multitude of charges, but there was the police that committed the offences. I was put in jail. I had my shoulder broken, dislocated, and I was put in jail for 29 days. And then when I was released with a full gag order. I couldn't speak about the police, the government, the law, the COVID pandemic, the chief health officer's directions on any website, any platform, publicly, anywhere. I couldn't speak about these things. Now, these bail conditions had no relevance to any of the alleged offences, which alleged offences didn't even happen. All you got to do is look at the footage. And I was dragged through the courts for about 3 years, because this was 2021. I'd already had other court cases to do with the COVID situation, but there was 2021, and it was only a couple of weeks ago that we had our pre-trial hearing for that particular
So case. 3 years down the track it's taken to get to a pre-trial hearing, a directions hearing, if you like.
Yep, and the judge, once she had, and this was the third judge we've had, because the third prosecutor we've had in this matter.
Third prosecutor, and how many deferrals have happened over the journey?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. There's been so many.
Okay.
There's been at least six trial changes. Yeah, at least six times that the trial date has changed, been vacated, then moved to a later date. So the judge, once she saw the footage of what had happened, she totally changed, and she just called out the lies of the police officers, the tactical police, who had written all of this. She actually said it was disturbing how inconsistent they're, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not reading from the transcript, but how different the statements of the police were to what the body camera footage says. She called out the assault.
So that's the important thing. So the police had statements that they've prepared, you know, because the police claim they've been assaulted by you, and then those written statements are entirely inconsistent with the video evidence on their body cams.
Completely. And there were 43 police witnesses in this interaction, right? So I felt like this judge is just completely against us at the beginning, but I think it's just she would have had the rap sheet on me with like not the rap sheet, but like a, you know, that I'm a fighter, that I've fought, and I run a fight gym, and there's 43 police witnesses saying that we've ran and attacked these police, or that we're belligerent. And she's probably looked at my face. I've got a flat nose from like a boxer's nose, or a cauliflower ears, and she's probably thought, yeah, you know, that's probably true. But after watching the footage, she completely changed. And we ran an application to have all of the evidence deemed inadmissible, and she granted it to us. She said that what they did, these police, was paramount to incitement, in that she because they can't say that they didn't know that we would react that way if our mate was being assaulted, which we have a right to defend.
That's right. It's important you bring that the citizens, we have all sorts of inalienable rights, so you're well across that, but just go into this defending a friend element.
Yeah, so it's in our Crimes Act, Section 322K. You have the right to defend a person or another person. And you can also use self-defense if you or somebody else is being unlawfully deprived of their liberty. So we saw it all happen right in front of us. So we ran in and we threw punches to, you know, what do? Your mate's getting bashed. And these are tactical police. So they have the tactical gloves, which is like brass knuckles. They've got these, they're not just punching you with a bare fist, which is bad enough. They've got these gloves that they can punch into concrete. They're that hard. And they're punching up our mate. What do? The right thing to do is defend your mate. So we just ran in knowing, I knew in my head there's no way that we're going to beat them, but I just had to stop them from doing what they were doing. And I just wanted to get on top of my mate to protect him, because I went, that's the honourable thing to do. going back to the biblical principle, you know, bear one another's burdens that they may be light. You know, if I can get to him, get on top of him while they're kicking the crap out of him, I can absorb some of it. Anyway, so the judge, she said multiple times in her ruling that that was an unlawful assault, that she mentions how they bashed Jason Reeves and how they, the police, caused the whole situation, and their state of mind being that I would react the way I did because it was on a briefing for the protest day. There's like 80 pages in there of Nick Patterson this, that. Nick Patterson runs rallies. He runs a martial arts gym. He started the Australian Peacemakers, who organize rallies, and he trains them to fight. And they would react. And it said in there that we would react with force if we believe we were being unlawfully treated, arrested, or assaulted. And so they can't say, well, we didn't expect that they would react that way. They knew full well that we would. And it goes to the state of mind. And they were clearly agitating us. Now, police are meant to de-escalate a situation, but that's not what they do anymore. They escalate it because it's for political reasons, to get you to react so that they can put you in jail, or at least put you on bail conditions that restrict your ability to go to protests, to speak on social media, and to break down the narrative, which is the catalyst for all of their power that they have, is their ability to promote a false narrative, whether it's climate change, COVID, you know, transit, whatever it is. They use that false narrative to be able to get people to at least allow it to not get involved, or to, you know, they call you names. They call you, you know, a homophobic bigot if you don't want the Rainbow Brigade, you know, indoctrinating your kids. You know, this is what they do. So when someone speaks out, they get targeted. But I didn't expect that I'd be targeted the way I was and then thrown in prison with a broken shoulder. And it wasn't just broken, it was dislocated. It was ripped right out of its socket. And out of all, there were five of us and my mate that was being bashed that had this interaction with the police at the end, and only one of us was put in jail, and that was me. And obviously I was put in jail and bailed the way I was because I was the one that had a platform on social media and was speaking out and was organising the rallies, which is evident by, you know, the fact that none of the other guys who were involved in the same interaction were put in jail. None of them were, and none of them were given the same bail conditions that I was. So it's political policing at its finest.
So the video evidence is non-admissible, and so where does that leave your case?
So it's not just the video evidence. The judge threw all of the evidence out. There is no evidence, not even their own statements. So what that means is that they have no case anymore. You can't prosecute someone if they don't have any, if you don't have any evidence. So technically, I'm still on bail because I'm waiting to hear back as from the prosecution to find out whether or not they're going to do an appeal of that decision. I think they'd be crazy to appeal it because I don't think any judge would look at that footage and look at the decision and think that there's any, you know, any merit to an appeal. However, they might do it just out of, spite, which is because I can sense that there's an agenda to get people like me. And I know that there is, because the police just turn up to your house in the middle of the night. They followed me into the shopping centre car park, the tactical police, and pulled me over in the car park, four cars. Like, that's not a normal thing to happen. And this is how I was treated right through that lockdown period. So, but now I look at this and say, look, we've had another win. I won, you know, when I kept my gym open, I was taken to court for keeping my gym open as well. I was convicted in this magistrate's court. So I took it to the Supreme Court for a review and I got a win there. That case wasn't published for about a year later. And many of the fines were thrown out because of that case. And because of the ruling in that case, I had another one with the tactical police that I won in the court as well. And then I had this big one, and I called it a win because technically I haven't won yet, but I have, because
if there's no evidence, how can they possibly run a case against you?
Impossible. That's the whole reason. Because the judge actually said, why do you want to throw the evidence out? The evidence is fantastic for your case. And we said, because if the evidence is all thrown out, they don't have a case. And she goes, oh, of course, okay. And she ruled out flavor.
Well, that is spectacular. And Nick, you have fought for your principles. We've got to go to a break shortly. And I want to come back after the break because the reason why, the key reason I want people to understand, there are people in our community who fight for principles. It can be scary, and anything difficult is scary. And I want to come back and I really want to make this link between your Christian faith and how you respond and deal with challenges, because I want to touch on this issue of, if you don't have spiritual means of support, as you know, the law requires you to have physical means of support, but you know, I'm all in favor of invisible means of support, namely God. And you know, it's how your faith enables you to do the right thing. Everybody, thanks for being on this program. Today's News Talk, TNT. This is the place to be for truth and freedom. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Susan Lucci. I never thought about heart disease until I had my own heart event. At first, like so many other women out there, I ignored my symptoms. A slight pressure on my chest, shortness of breath. I thought, I don't have time to be sick. I had a 90% blockage in my main artery and a 75% blockage in the adjacent artery. I received 2 stents in my arteries. Stents developed through research funded by the American Heart Association. Those stents saved my life. I'm so grateful to the American Heart Association. Their research helped save my life. I can enjoy life with my children, my grandchildren, and my friends. Please, listen to your heart. The only reason I'm here today is because I did. Learn more about the American Heart Association's life-saving work at helpheart.org.
Hi, I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pretirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Boom.
This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I've got Nick Patterson with me, freedom warrior, fighter against corrupt police. Now, Nick is a mixed martial arts fighter and has had a Christian ministry for 22 years. It is my considered view, and I've gone public on this, that there are 5 groups of people who enabled the trampling of our inalienable rights. One of those groups was the churches. And you will have heard Nick say that he kept his gym open. And indeed, he does his Christian ministry, or virtually, from his gym. Well, Nick, I honor you for keeping your church open while so many churches shut down. And I say those churches sold out to the government. Those churches did not stand up against government. They took the money and they're suffering now as they should be suffering. Very few Christian churches stood up against the nefarious, unlawful lockdowns. Now, Nick, let's look at your mental health. Let's look at what your Christian faith gives you in terms of your ability to face the challenges that you do. Give us a perspective on it so that your perspective on this lack of spirituality that's taught to kids these days. You know, because I really want people to get this message that if you're struggling mentally, it's because you don't have sufficient spiritual means of support.
Well, I always, because we homeschool our children, and this is one of our lessons that we would do regularly. I always, and they know this lesson really well. I'd say to them, put your hand out. And I'd say, what's the difference between spiritual things and physical things? And they go, oh, well, that they all know now. But I'd say, can I put money in your hand? Yes. Can I put gold in your hand? Yes. Can I put pizza in your hand? Yes. They're all physical things. Can I put courage in your hand? No, and they'll laugh. Can I put love in your hand? Can I put confidence in your hand? I can't. Then I'd ask them, I'd say, are those things real though? If I can't put them in your hand and you can't see them, then how do you know they're real? Oh, you know, then we'll have that discussion. I'd say, well, what's more valuable, courage or a whole handful of gold? Because that's gold's worth a lot now. And they, and of course, every child will say, well, courage is. How do you know that? And we have that discussion. But it's those principles that are the most valuable things. They're the spiritual things. Courage. I mean, courage is, you can't see it. You can't see it and put it in a jar. It's not a physical thing, but it's a very powerful motivator. And that powerful motivator is more valuable to many of us than, you know, and justice isn't a powerful motivator. Okay, love, okay, goodness, faith. These things are the spiritual principles that are more powerful and enable people to become their best in a righteous way, to be their best. So when the government says, you know, you've got to do something that you know to be intrinsically wrong and morally completely wrong, and you go, well, I have a small measure of power and capacity and a voice, I'm going to use that to do what's right, even though I'll probably suffer for it, which I think is, as a Christian, you know that when you stand up for the truth and you do the truth, you will be persecuted and you'll suffer for it. And I think that suffering shows the value of the truth and shows the value of those principles, because when you suffer for something, it shows it has value. So you wouldn't suffer for something if it didn't have some value. You wouldn't. You wouldn't, you know, people would say, Nick, why are you doing this? Just give up, mate. It's too hard. I go, what do you mean? You're not seeing it the same way I am, because I see it as a principle. You know, I know that I'll stand before God and God will say, Nick, I trust you because I know that you will follow through with the truth all the way to the end and you don't have a price. And I think that's a very powerful place to be if you want to stand up for the truth, to be the man that says, I don't have a price and you can't buy me out. That's the man that I believe that they fear, somebody who would do everything they can for the truth and what's right, because God will back them as well, and righteous people will see what they're doing and become inspired, and inspire means to have the Spirit in, then they will say, I like what you're doing. That resonates with me. I want to do it too. And then you get converts to true biblical righteous principles.
So what's the... This issue of suffering, I've spoken in numerous fora about it, and you know, you can't get good at martial arts without suffering. You can't get good at the law without suffering. You can't become a musical maestro without enormous amounts of work. You can't become an AFL footballer of any status without an enormous amount of work. Let's unpack this thing of suffering, because we are taught, and you know, I teach this stuff, so but I want your perspective on it, this willingness to suffer. I think it's this idea that the good life is the life that has no suffering. Unpack that for me.
Yeah, well, the comfortable life is the meaningless life, because there's no growth there. It's like anything, you know, resistance builds strength. I say this all the time when I coach. I say resistance builds strength, and it doesn't matter whether it's spiritual resistance, mental resistance, whatever it is, the resistance that we face, as long as we face it, builds strength. Now, if I want to be strong and be able to lift heavy weights and become stronger and get bigger muscles, I've got to lift heavier weights. I've got to go against that resistance, that physical barrier. If I don't, I won't get stronger. Same with mental issues that you might have. You have to face it, you have to deal with it, and you have to push through it, and then you become stronger for it. And we have to go through those, we have to go through that resistance. That's just part of it. But if you go along with the lie, and that's how it works. And simply put, I look at the core of everything in this world as Satan and God. God's the truth, he doesn't lie. Satan's a lie, he never tells the truth. Those two powers are going to war right now. Satan's trying to take over, and Satan's the one that's waged the war. So these people that go along with a lie and go, you know what, just go along with it. I say no, because I am then enabling that lie and that spirit and that evil to perpetuate in this way. And if all of us had the capacity and the mental fortitude, which I know comes from being built on strong core values, which core values for me, they come from that biblical text, which I know that they were imprinted into me before I even knew about the Bible. But people that are willing to make those values and those principles first, those are the people who have real power and have real capacity, because the thought precedes the action. And if your thoughts are such that you know that there is that this is right, and if I do what's right, I know that I have the blessings and to be able to get this done, because that's where faith comes from. I don't know that I can accomplish this, but if I believe it's right, and I know God will defend me in doing that thing that is right, then I know because of my faith that I'll be able to get through to the other end. And I had so many people say to me, you can't beat the police, mate, in the courts. They're so corrupt. All the judges are corrupt. Okay, well, I've had three court cases against the corrupt police for all sorts of false claims and charges, and I've beat them all three times, and I've beat them in completely different ways. So all the people that said you can't win, well, I'm living proof you can. You just have to go be, and I apply that biblical principle, he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's what Jesus says. And that's where we get the maxim of law. He who leaves the battlefield first loses by default. So I'm not going to leave the battlefield first, because I'm going to hold, firm and take a strong position that I'm right, that this principle is correct. And I know that if I follow that through to the very end, I will win. I'll be the victor. And that's been the case all the way through the COVID situation, but also in other smaller, less important, experiences and problems that I've had in my life. So I've been built, I've been being taught, I believe, through God, through divine providence, through my life. And now I'm at this point where I've got all these court cases and I've been able to win them because of the training that I've had by holding to firm, strong principles that I've learned from the biblical text, and I've learned through my experience and through prayer.
So if anyone's inspired by what you've shared here from anywhere around the world, I'm talking about a spiritual support mechanism. I've been teaching this for 31 years, so, I don't consider myself a minister, but I probably am when I think about it, for 31 years of talking about mental, physical, and spiritual, and passion is a spiritual resource. What's your suggestion? I mean, people can come to your gym. Is your gym operating now?
No, I've closed it down. I'm focusing on other things now.
Good. So where do what's your suggestion to somebody who says, Nick, I want to learn more about the power of Christian faith to rejuvenate my life? Where would they go?
Yeah, look, if people want to just send me an email, I've got nickpatterson73@gmail.com. Just send me an email. I've that's the email that I use for anything public. Mm-hmm. Nick Patterson with two T's, 73. I'm actually born in 83, but 83 wasn't available when I set up that email. But yeah, nickpatterson73@gmail.com. Send me an email if you want to be added to the mailing list for our Bible study. I'm happy to share that out. And if we've got any events coming up, I'd like to let people know via that.
Excellent. All right. So everybody, that's an invitation to you. And whether you're listening on the live or on the recording or watching, I think it's and Nick will send you in that direction. Now, my last question to you, because we're fast running out of time.
Sure.
People say, Nick, it's all right for you to do it. You're disciplined. What do I do when I don't? How do I get out of my funk if I don't feel like doing the hard gym work? How do you get your people that you've trained over the years, to be willing to do that suffering? That's a real dilemma.
Different people look, it's coming at it from different angles. Some people can look at it because you've got to have a will. The heart's the will. The will's with the motivator. So you've got to be struck in the heart. Go, I want to do that. So you've got to have a will. So that comes from the thought as well. So some people, they've got to see perspective and see that maybe if I put in effort here, over time I will have a greater capacity. Some people, they need to pray for that will. Ask God to give you that will to become disciplined. But if you don't have a will for it, you're not going to do it. You have to have a will for it. You can't without that. So it's all about the heart. So if your heart is lazy and you've got no will, pray for that. But you can also, you might find that maybe just talking to somebody, you know, like a mentor that can show them that being lazy, this is what it leads to. And this will be your end result potentially if you don't make those important decisions to be diligent in learning whatever it is that you have an interest in. Like I always had an interest in the human experience and being a fighter. Everything, whatever I do. And my mother would always say, don't argue with my son because if he believes he's right, he will never win. That's what I'm like. And I know that I've been born that way. So she's known from a young age. That's just how I am. But we've got to work out what we are, what our character is, and then we've got to build on that. And there's different ways. I mean, you know, how long is a piece of string? And there's so many different answers to that question.
Well, that's a great. You've answered it very well. I'll summarize it by using the hard easy dichotomy. If you take it easy, life will become hard. If you do hard things, life becomes easy. And so, as we come to a close, Nick Patterson, thank you. I urge all of you to be willing to do the suffering, because if we're going to fight for truth and justice and freedom, we need to be willing to suffer. We need to be willing to endure. And Nick told us that resistance builds your strength. Don't look for the easy way. You will never lead a magnificent life by taking the easy way. TNT Radio shows that. Thanks for being with us. I look forward to being with you next week. Have a great week and pursue your passion. If you don't know what it is, discover it and do plenty of prayer, because spiritual means of support are crucial to you. Bye for now.